The Extra Mile Podcast. Welcome to the Extra Mile Podcast. In this podcast, we follow the progress of fellow runners across the globe as they train for 5Ks, 10Ks, half or full marathons. Visit our website at www.theextramilepodcast.com and send us your email or audio files at theextramilepodcast@gmail.com.
Welcome to episode 125 of the Extra Mile Podcast. How's everybody doing, huh? This is me, and you're probably you, and let's get by all the introductions, huh? Get to the good stuff, huh? I am out today, noontime or so, maybe 11:30-ish, in my neighborhood run. Light wind. I hope that's not getting picked up too much. Probably get better up here in a minute when I turn the corner. But I'm gonna have to run by a doggy. Hang on a minute. Excuse me. Hey, baby. Hi. I'm sorry. Did you say I got these things and I'm not listening? Yeah, I do. 12:13. Got these silly headphones in and people ask me questions and I have no idea what they're saying. Where was I? Lunchtime run. It's pretty nice right now. Partly cloudy. It just stopped raining this morning. We've had some rain here in Cincinnati about 3 days straight. My poor kids haven't played soccer in about a week. And they are chomping at the bit to get back out there, hopefully this weekend. Today's Friday, I gotta look at my watch, May the 16th. How's everybody, huh? Kind of a convoluted beginning already. I'm out doing a 2-1 today. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm not training for anything. I'm just getting some miles in. Feeling so good that today will be my seventh day in a row. I know. I'm the guy who said I was going to start taking 2 days a week off. And I guess I'm not to be trusted. I started to say I'm a liar. I don't like that word. My intentions are good. My intentions were to take a couple days off. I've just been feeling really, really good. Just by happenstance, I've worked at home 3 days this week. And when I do that, I typically do not get up early, so I think that's part of the reason. I've just been getting a lot of sleep lately and feeling much more well-rested. This will be a whole week since I've gotten up at 4:45 to run at 5. My pace has been kind of up and down, although generally faster than in the recent past. I think that's probably because of the temperatures and also because I've been getting out at noon a lot. And I always run faster. No idea why, but it's a fact. And before I get off the topic of my training, I'll probably talk about this in more detail at the end, but I'm getting close to finalizing my travel plans for the Jeff Galloway 13.1 down in Atlanta in December. And as I do that, I realize it's going to be a while before I actually have to start officially training for that race. And what's the word? I'm starting to get a hankering. That word is really not even in my vocabulary, but that's what happens when I can't think of the right word. I start reverting to words that I wouldn't use on a bet. I'm starting to get a hankering for finding a race, I don't know, way sooner than December, probably a half, so that I can start official training. I'd rather train early, run a half, you know, I'm just making this up, September time frame, let's say, early October, I don't know, and then just keep that base going until December. But it's all got to do with me just having that desire to have a reason to go out each day, you know, i.e. a training program. So I might start looking around for that. I don't know why, but I have this desire to go off on a 180 degree tangent this morning. Each morning I get my kids up early and get them dressed, feed them, and brush their hair, brush their teeth, all that fun stuff. While my wife is finishing up her workout routine, showering, and spending an inordinate amount of time making herself beautiful each day. But while they're doing most of that, they're sitting in front of the boob tube. Can I say boob on this show? They're sitting in front of the television and watching cartoons usually. And because of the show that they watch each morning, it got me thinking this morning that, you know, in the past, I remember when my older kids were that age, and one of the shows that they watched way too often was one that I'll bet many of you either watched yourselves or your kids watched. It's that big purple dinosaur. Yeah, that's the one. And I remember thinking years ago, when my older kids were watching that, that I felt guilty that my country was exporting that stuff around the world. And I could just imagine parents all over the planet cursing the United States as their children sat and sung that song all day long. Well, I just want to make it official. I no longer feel guilty for the United Kingdom. Yeah. With these new kids, the United Kingdom seems to have gotten their revenge in a show that my kids have been watching for about a year now. Are you all familiar with a kids show called Peppa Pig?
I'm Peppa Pig. This is my little brother George. This is Mummy Pig. And this is Daddy Pig. Peppa Pig.
Yeah, if not, you should thank your lucky stars. This one is way worse than the big fat purple dinosaur. Trust me. So, if you are listening from the UK, all I can say is touche, my friends. Touche. And no moss.
How can we raise the money to fix the school roof?
We could have a fun run.
What's a funny run?
It's a day for picnics and giving money to see people run. And the more money you give, the further they run.
Good idea, Daddy Pig. How far can you run?
What? Well, I can run as far as you like.
But, Daddy, you can hardly run at all.
Nonsense. I'm an expert at running.
Okay, so, how about this episode, huh? I thought about calling this episode the Give Kevin a Big Head episode. Because, as you'll hear, there's a few attaboy Kevins in this one. I thought about editing some of that stuff out, but that's not my job to edit what you all say. It is, however, my job to comment on some of the things that you say, and I do have some things to say that always come to mind when you all send me a submission with some sort of very sweet accolades in it. Accolades, that's another word that is really not in my vocabulary. And I'm not quite certain that I used it in context, but I think you know what I mean. I'm going to talk more about that at the end of the show. So let's get to the real reason you all download and listen to the show. And we'll chat a little bit at the end. Y'all enjoy your extra mile.
Hello, Kevin and all you extra milers. This is Jim from South Central Pennsylvania, but for right now, I am in Kevin's basement. That's right. I am a host of the one, the only host. Listen to me. Guest. See, it's early in the morning. I have no idea what I'm saying. I'm a guest of the one, the only, Kevin Gwynn. That's right. The big guy himself has invited me to stay at his house while I'm here for the Flying Pig Marathon weekend. And why? Well, that's because Mr. Gwynn is just an incredibly nice American. Or, as we also like to say in this country, a Midwesterner. Once again, I've yet to be disappointed by the attitudes and the way Midwesterners behave. I will say that certainly people on the East Coast could learn a lot from the way people are over here. Anyway, so I'm here for Flying Pig Weekend. I am in the belly of the beast. I am in the extra mile nerve center, as it would be. And it is just before 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm up and I've had my coffee. And we're going to make our, you know, necessary break before heading on down to Cincinnati and getting ready for the race. Race starts at 6:30. And I always like to get to things early, especially with parking and stuff. It gives you a chance to kind of, you know, get a lay of the land and also find some more people to talk to before the race starts. But I wanted to check in and say hello to everybody. And I'm going to check in probably after the race. I was initially thinking about doing a couple of check-ins during the race. But what I noticed at the expo yesterday, which, of course, the one, the only Kevin escorted me to and through, because he's just that nice a guy, is that I have Sprint for my cell carrier, and there's a lot of places I noticed, even downtown, where the coverage was a little on the sketchy side, and that's unfortunately, you know, a Sprint issue, I don't think it's really a Cincinnati issue, it's a Sprint issue. So rather than call in and, you know, you kind of sort of hear me, I will wait till after the race is over, and I will do a post-race check-in. I will tell you, though, if you're looking for a really fantastic race, and I haven't even run this thing yet, definitely consider the Flying Pig. It is just, it's just a great event. I'm awfully happy with this event, and I haven't even stepped across the starting line. So we're going to talk more about it, obviously, after the race, but until then, I'm going to get ready and prepare, and I will speak to you guys at the finish line. You all enjoy your extra mile.
Peppa and her family are eating spaghetti.
Delicious. Is there any more spaghetti?
Daddy Pig, you've already had 3 helpings.
Eating gives me energy. and I need energy for my fun run.
You also need to practice running.
What if I practice eating today, then practice running tomorrow?
No, Daddy. You need to practice running now.
Oh.
Along the way, I started my runoff with the latest edition of the Extra Mile podcast, number 125, hosted by the High Priest of Activity, our brother, our friend, our guide into the venue of running, Mr. Kevin Gwynn, Senior. I like to think of his platform and his show as the Synagogue of Steps or the Temple of Trot. And for those who prefer less legalistic binding terms, we could say it's the open arms of the Church of Running. I paid my penance and asked forgiveness for not posting a submission to the Extra Mile podcast in quite some time. I am notoriously bad about this, and I am honestly and sincerely ashamed that I don't post more often. Part of the reason is because I don't race enough to give race reports. My training is very unorthodox, and I don't know, I always feel as though trying to share something just doesn't quite mix in with the group of hard, dedicated trainers in running. Now, Kevin has lectured me on this. He told me not to feel that way and to offer his submission in spite of feeling that way. And I should. And so really, that's what I'm doing now. I apologize for some of the traffic you hear. It's very sparse this time of the morning. But back to the Church of Running. And I will start, or I will say this. My running and my training is going well. I feel good. I'm just looking for weekly average miles. There is no grand race in my upcoming future, but that'll take place more for me in the fall. Now, on to the next. I was listening to the submissions. There were there were several submissions that really caught my ear, and I'd like to comment on them, but for the brevity of time, I'll stick with one. It's the one where Kevin, at the end of his podcast, welcomed us to chime in on, I believe it was Dr. Amanda in the very beginning, stated that she was training for a race, and her coach told her that he wanted her to abandon her run-walk ratio Galloway method for a shorter race because she has run a greater distance, such as a marathon. Well, my opinion, and we all have opinions, and my opinion is always framed with love and not and kindness and non-judgmentalism, but my opinion on that is hogwash. That's right. I said it. And whoever the coach is, I love you. And you're a coach, and I'm not. But my opinion is that if a running method is enjoyable to you, if a run method has given you success in the past, if the way you like to run is comfortable and gives you
the results that you want. Excuse me. A little short of wind there. I burped. Excuse me. Then I say, then you follow your heart. And if that's what you want to run with, that's what you run with. Now, a coach is meant, I guess, to inspire, to help you improve, to give you guidance, etc., etc. And those things, in and of themselves, are not wrong. However, this is one of the reasons why I don't have a coach. I don't like to be told. I don't like to be told what to do. And this is obviously very distressing to this young lady. I could hear it in her voice. So I say that if the run walk works for you, then you stay with it. I run all my races with the run walk. And it doesn't matter if it's a 5K, a 10K, a half marathon, a 25K, or a marathon. That's what I use. And it was Kevin, through Mr. Galloway, many years ago, who introduced me to the run walk. And it was indeed counterintuitive. But after time, I came to embrace it. And now, it's the way I run. And it works for me, and I embrace it. And that's what I have to say about that. Mile 5. All right. So this has been Just Norm with a submission to the Extra Mile podcast. I think one time I said, hello, all you daily milers, instead of saying extra milers. So I was careful that time to pay attention to what I was saying. So to all you extra milers and all you daily milers, I wish you nothing but the best in your training, in your running, in your health, and in your life. Kevin, much thanks, as always, for all that you do. A kind and hearty and well-meaning thank you to you, sir, for your service to the Runday community.
Hi, all you extra milers. This is Mariana from Naples, New York, but privileged, honored, humbled, and awed to be telling you about my run that I just took in Lake Placid, New York, in the middle of the Adirondacks. This is insane. It's so beautiful. It's so relaxing. This was truly an enjoyable run, of course, because of the incredible beauty, but also we're up here celebrating our 31st anniversary. And I have nothing to do after this run, so I could really, really enjoy this amazing, beautiful day in the Adirondacks. This is part of my journey back. I did half of a half today, 6.5, probably closer to 7. I ran part of the route for the Lake Placid half marathon. That's a race on my bucket list. Definitely after doing this run it is. Probably not this year, but hopefully next year. Great run. It leaves you absolutely breathless in more ways than one. The last part of the route is uphill. And sometimes I like Jeff to talk about that, how you handle uphills at the end of a long run. I think that'd be great to talk about. But I just wanted to share with you, I'm going to post a picture on Facebook, how wonderful this was. I am on my journey back. I am thrilled that I've run this far. Back onto it. My goal is another half marathon, using slow and steady. Today was just a very slow run. Perfect. The advice makes so much sense. Everybody else, keep going and have a wonderful extra mile. Take care.
Come on, Daddy. Races.
This is easy.
It is easy to run downhill. It is hard to run uphill.
I don't think I should have eaten so much spaghetti.
Oh, hi, all you extra milers. It's Jenny calling from Washougal, Ontario, Canada. It's, I think it's April 27th. I'm out for a walk, and I was just listening to episode 125. Still going to make a call out to Suzanne. Anyways, just wanted to give you an update. Not a training update and not a race update, just an update. Last submission in 125, talked about my back issues and waiting to see a neurosurgeon. Anyways, I got in to see an orthopedic surgeon first and had my assessment, I guess a week ago. And the testing was not exactly what I thought the outcome would be. Anyways, so he did his testing. He got my history, looked at the MRI, looked at some new x-rays that he did, and he kept, you know, shaking his head, going like, this isn't matching up. The neurological changes weren't matching with the structural, structural issues of the spine, which I do, thanks to my parents. I have some bone density issues, early onset osteoarthritis, some osteoporosis, and now they're looking at EDS or Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. That is a genetic thing for poor connective tissue in the body, which leads to very loose ligaments, which I have with hypermobility, which I have, and explains a lot of my keeps dislocating. I sprain my ankle all the time. Those are really cute. They're little go-karts on the road. Anyways, So, when speaking to the orthopedic surgeon, as he kept shaking his head and testing, I no longer have reflexes from the knees down both legs, you know, he just kept shaking his head. So I said, oh, I should probably mention 24 years ago I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And then a little light went ding, ding, ding off in his head. And anyways, 24 years ago, you don't think about mentioning something that you maybe didn't have. Sorry. Anyways, yeah, it's not something that you mention. So 24 years ago, had some double vision, hearing loss in one ear, some optic nerve issues, some weakness to the right side. Diagnosed through a CT showing plaques on my brain.
6 kilometers. Oof. Completed.
Look at that.
Time, 1 hour, 20.
Anyways, evoked potentials were positive and CT was positive. By the time around, I got around to actually seeing a neurologist. Over a year had gone by. It's a Canadian system for you. Most of the symptoms had subsided, so we didn't really do anything for it, just kind of kept our eye on it. Had yearly evoked potentials for a couple of years in CTs, and both the evoked worsened. By the time I got around to doing an MRI, it was completely clear. So, I you know, don't... You don't seem to think about it. You don't mention it. I don't even think my kids knew, let alone my husband, because you kind of think maybe it was a misdiagnosis. Anyways, ding, 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 lights go off. No reflexes from the knees down. Oh, probably waist down because my pudendal nerve or crotch area is also malfunctioning. So I'm waiting for a brain and spinal MRI and some nerve conduction testing, and they will do the spinal nerve block for me. So, oh my gosh, the road is busy today. I live on a rural road, and it's Sunday, that's why. Anyways, so absolutely no running for me. I'm walking. My right leg still does the, I can't sometimes feel it, I got foot drop. So, you know, looking back, I think that was kind of silly not to even remotely think about that, because the back pain was improving, although not, it turned to sciatic, and the nerve pain increased instead of reduced after so many months of this sneeze issue way back at the early February. So, there I am. I probably will not be submitting anymore because I've got nothing to submit. Although I still will be listening to you guys. And hopefully, if we can get a positive diagnosis or negative, then perhaps you'll hear from me again. Just FYI, I haven't made it public on Facebook, although my mom and dad know, and some of my close friends do. Other than that, I think that's it. I wish you all luck. Okay, bye-bye.
Hey, Kevin and all your extra milers. This is Jeff from Bracy, Virginia. I've called in one other time, but it's been a while, and I just wanted to kind of give a update on my progress and my wife's running. And so we were training for the MEDOT Marathon, and we completed that last fall. We ran the whole thing together, and it took us about 5 hours and 50 minutes. It was kind of long, but it was a technical single track trail race, and it was tough, and it's my first marathon. But we completed it, and we were happy. And then after that, I signed up for another trail marathon, the Umstead Marathon in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I did that one in 5 hours and 5 minutes. So I almost dropped an hour on my marathon in that amount of time. And when before the race, I'm standing there when we're getting ready to start and talking with a buddy of mine, and I hear a familiar voice behind me. And I'm like, I know that voice. You listen to these podcasts all the time, and you know voices from these podcasters. And I turn around, and there's Chris Russell standing in front of me. So I got to meet Chris Russell. He was running the same marathon I did in the middle of the woods out in Raleigh, North Carolina. It was fun. It was a good trail race. So me and my wife are doing the Meetup Marathon again this year, and we're actually doing a 50K in August on the same course as MEDOC, which is in Hollister, North Carolina. It's kind of down east North Carolina. And we're doing a 50K, which is going to be 5 laps on this course, and it's in August. It's called the MEDOC Meltdown. I think I will melt. So we'll just see if I can complete that. I'm going to go slow and do a walk run and see what we can do. And I look forward to hearing all your other callers calling in, and thank you, and that's my extra mile. This is Jeff signing out.
It is the day of the fun run. Madame Gazelle has a chart to show how far Daddy Pig must run.
If Daddy Pig can run to here,
the supermarket,
then to here,
for Granddad's garage,
and all the way to here,
Windy Castle,
then we'll have enough money to fix the school roof.
I'll do it now. Ready, steady, go! I did it! Now we can have the picnic.
Silly Daddy, that's just a drawing.
Yes. Now, you must run to the real Windy Castle.
Hi everyone, it's Emma from Sydney, Australia, calling in with a training update. Last time I called was at the end of last year, and I had just registered for my first ever marathon, which was going to be in Canberra on the 13th of April. And my training was going okay until the 14th of January, when I was walking along a pathway at my workplace. I stumbled and fell and tore a ligament in my left ankle. So initially the doctors said, I'd be off for 6 to 8 weeks. and I thought I might be able to keep training using an elliptical trainer, but that triggered a whole lot of other problems in my hip and my back and my right ITB, so I had to abandon that plan. I started working with a really good physiotherapist, and she had to get real with me a couple of times about my rehab goals. So I ended up pulling out of the Canberra Marathon and instead registered for the 10K, which was the day before. And I'm pleased to say it was a great event. Had a really lovely run. I just took it as a long, slow run. And it was a beautiful, cool morning, beautiful views across Lake Burley Griffin, and it was just a really nice event. So that was good. And my new plan now is to do the Gold Coast Running Festival in July, and I'm actually going to do a Dumbo Double Dare type thing. I'm going to do the 10K on Saturday and the half marathon on Sunday. So that should be really nice. Gold Coast, I consider that my home event. It was the first half marathon I ever ran. And this time it looks like I'll be doing the 10K with my mum and hopefully the half marathon with my brother, but he might be a bit faster than me. But anyway, it should be a fantastic weekend and I'm really, really looking forward to it. And after that, who knows, I might see if I have a marathon in me after all. All right, well, thanks, everyone, for this podcast, and, good luck with all your training and your events coming up. Okay, bye.
Ready, steady, go! Hooray!
Come on, Daddy! You can make it!
The school bus has made it to Windy Castle. Now everyone can enjoy the picnic.
Water! Water!
Hello, Kevin and all you extra milers. This is Jim from South Central Pennsylvania, and I am now back in South Central Pennsylvania. So this is my flying pig wrap-up. Just to start off, this is definitely a race every marathoner should do. This should be on your bucket list. It's a fantastic race. I can certainly spend more than 3 minutes talking about this, but I'm not going to because, of course, Kevin wants us to keep these submissions short. So I will mention that for this marathon, I did podcast the marathon. So basically, I did a virtual run on the marathon. So if you want to hear what it was like to run with me for certain parts of the marathon, you can certainly check out my website, The Seeker Podcast at blogspot.com, and there's like a 50-minute of the marathon that ends up in a podcast. It's like a virtual run kind of a thing. But anyway, the marathon itself, really fantastic. Again, I don't know how many marathons actually take place in two states. This is one of them. You, of course, start in Ohio. You cross into Kentucky. You cross back into Ohio, and the rest of the race is in Ohio. Cincinnati itself is a very nice town. I've never been there before. I actually kind of wish I'd had an extra 24 hours to kind of explore a little bit more, but this was a really quick in-and-out kind of a trip for me. I actually arrived on Saturday, which was the day before the race, and then did the race Sunday and went back to Kevin's and grabbed a shower and literally was there maybe a half an hour before I had to make my way back to the airport and catch my flight home. And then, of course, I worked the last 2 days. So I worked 2 days after the marathon. So this is finally some time off to talk about the marathon and actually, you know, kind of gather my thoughts as to what I really think about it. But, a really fantastic event. The expo was, if it wasn't the best expo I'd ever been to, it's one of the best expos I've ever been to, certainly in the top three. I'll talk more about that at some other point in time, or probably on my own venue. Again, the race itself, we got fantastic weather for the race. Upper 50s to low 60s at the start, and overcast, and I finished in 4 hours and 52 minutes and change. So for me, was somewhere around mile 15-ish before the clouds broke up, and it was nothing but bright sunshine. Obviously, if you're a lot faster than I am, you would have had clouds for a lot longer. Once the clouds broke up, and I knew this was going to happen, it got significantly warmer. I think it probably got to like 74 by the time I finished. That was the reading in my car anyway on the way back to Kevin's place. So what else can I say about this thing? They just had everything there. I mean, you know, they had ample water stops. Really great fans. They did something that I'd actually never seen before. And this is my 21st overall marathon. And usually somewhere between miles 14 and 20, there is the boring section. That's just that part of the course where, you know, they don't have 26.2 miles of interesting scenery to show you. So they have, you know, you're going to run through an industrial area or kind of a lonely area or, you know, something like that somewhere. I mean, 26 miles, it's a long run. Unless they have you do loops, you're going to be someplace that's a little less scenic at least than other parts of the course. This was actually probably one of the more scenic parts of this course, was right smack dab in the middle. Which was kind of a shame for the half marathoners because they didn't see any of this. It was only the marathoners that saw this because, again, it's mile 14 and beyond. So, the half marathoners are already done. And they did a different course. They kind of peeled off somewhere around mile 7 and headed back for the finish. So there is a lot of course that the half marathoners don't even get to see. And, frankly, I thought the best view in the entire race the half marathoners don't even get. And that was at the top of this hill overlooking the Ohio. Just a spectacular view. And only the marathoners got to see that. So something to keep in mind if you're debating on whether or not to do the half marathon or the full. I would highly argue you should do the full for this one because, you know, again, just some of the nicest neighborhoods, the prettiest places were actually in the latter half of the full. To that event, actually, the kind of the boring industrial area, oddly enough, was in like the first 5 miles. Once you cross back over the Ohio and back into Ohio, go figure. There was actually a section there that was actually fairly industrial. It's right where they had us start as well. So, that was actually kind of like the boring, oh, look at this, you know, cement mixer kind of stuff. Oh, look, we've got, you know, industrial this, industrial that. That was actually early, which I thought was kind of odd. I don't usually see that in races. But it was nice because they actually got it out of the way, and then, boom, you're done with that. Fans were fantastic. The volunteers were incredible. Just really, really good race. And, of course, it's an outstanding medal. Because let's face it, there's lots of reasons why we do this stuff, but the medal is certainly one of those reasons we do it. And you're not going to be disappointed with this medal. Two-sided, heavy. Actually, it's exactly the same size as the 2010 Air Force Marathon. It looks like it's the same people made the thing. It's a lot of metal in this medal. You can tell they put a lot of effort into the medal. So just really a great event. I have another marathon coming up now in, what are we now, 12 days, 11 days, which, of course, is the Green Bay Marathon, which I'm looking forward to, and I will also call in with my report from that as well. But this is the Flying Pig Marathon Report, so that's it for me. I know I went over 3 minutes, but what can I say? There's a lot to say about this race. It was really, really fantastic. And before I go, I just want to throw one more thing that the host of this podcast is also an incredibly fantastic human being. Because let's face it, this race wouldn't have happened if this guy had allowed me to come to his house and hang out there and kind of show me around and stuff. I would not have done this race, you know, nip in, nip out real quickly on a weekend if it had just been me and I didn't know anybody there and, you know, stuff like that. So this race actually happened because our host, Kevin, was there and was such a gracious host. And I also will extend the same thing to, of course, his lovely wife and his kids. Fantastic family. If you get a chance to meet them, you have to do it. So that's it for me from South Central Pennsylvania. This is Jim, the host of the Seeker Podcast and the Runner's Anonymous blog, signing off.
Hi, Kevin, and the Extra Mile Podcasters. This is Denise in Northeast Oklahoma, and I've been running just almost 2 years in the last year and a half using the Jeff Galloway method and listening to your podcast and the other one regarding the half marathon. I ran my second half marathon in Oklahoma at the Oklahoma City Memorial Marathon, and while my time was slower due to rain and lightning and humidity when the day cleared, it was my favorite race that I've run, even comparing every 5K, 10K, half quarter marathon, and half marathon I've run. It was April 27th. It's a fantastic memorial. The crowd support and hydration and food support along is amazing. The course is gorgeous. There's a wonderful setup beforehand, the pancake breakfast at a local church that was involved in the bombing, and it destroyed their sanctuary, and they're just there and supportive. We had a 2-hour delayed start because we had a really bad storm coming in with thunder and potential tornadoes, and then it broke at 8:15, and we had another one coming through, but it went north of Oklahoma City, so we were able to get the race started. We were a matter of 12 minutes from being canceled because they would have to open the roads and not be able to keep them closed for a race if it started 12 minutes later. But we got it done, and the day became wonderful, though it was very warm. And I just paced myself and made it to the end and felt strong and happy and just so grateful. I'm one of the back of the pack runners and had a great time and got to run with several groups of police officers and firemen who ran in complete uniform. And that was kind of fun because they were cheered constantly, and I just kind of, in my head, pretended some of those people were cheering for me as well. So it was great, and I appreciate your podcast. Just wanted to report in. Thanks.
Water. Water.
Daddy Pig has reached the supermarket. All the running has made him very thirsty.
Let's look through the telescope.
I can see Daddy.
The telescope makes everything look closer.
Oh, he's not going very fast.
Daddy Pig has arrived at Grandad Dog's garage.
That's it. I can't go on.
Daddy has stopped.
Oh.
You look rather hot. You need something to cool you down and give you energy. Have an ice lolly.
Thank you, Grandad Dog.
Hi, all you extra milers. It's Mariana from Naples, New York. Calling with a training report and a race report. My training report is my next installment of the journey back for those of us who reached a major milestone. Like for me, it was a half marathon and then kind of pooped out afterwards. So today I did 8 miles. I'm feeling okay. I felt it. I can't say I didn't feel it, but it's the first 8-miler I've done in months. So I'm feeling really good about that. I'm working on a 30-30 right now. That's my goal because my goal right now is to increase my distance, and I'm not worried about speed at this point. So anyway, I did it, and I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good about my training. I'm adding time during the week so that I'm up to 45 minutes 2 days a week, walking as well, cross training. So I'm coming back, guys, and feeling good about it. It was wonderful this morning. I've been training, and actually Thursday was May 1st. It was the first morning that I've trained that it wasn't below freezing. And we're finally seeing spring here. I did a little bit of trail running today, and I couldn't believe going through the woods, the brilliant, brilliant green of the grass that's just coming up. It was like neon green. It was just beautiful. just beautiful. Looks like spring is finally coming. So very happy about that. So my race report was our local St. J's 5K. It is our local race in our very small community, but it's used to raise money for different community activities. And it has three hills in it, three big hills, and one we call Mount Misery at the end, which is, I'd say, about a 10% grade. I have an altimeter and figured that out. So it's a challenging race. And I wanted to comment a little bit about, you know, run versus run walk. This is the eighth time I've run the race. It's been 8 years. And the first time I ran it, I think I was running about 7 minutes, maybe taking a 1 minute break. And that was probably my best, that was not quite my best time. My best time was actually last year when I had been training for the half marathon, had a couple of 10 milers under my belt. But this race, so this was not my best time at a 30-30, but interestingly enough, it was my average time. So I thought that was interesting that, it didn't really change one way or the other, what I'd been doing. And it was what I found interesting doing the run walk was I went back to the Packer and ended up with a small group like you usually do. And in that small group, most of the people were running. I did pass a couple of people, a couple other, people I was basically keeping up with as they ran the whole thing and I ran walked it. So at a 30-30. So I just think that's interesting. If you think about it, you know, the 30-30 is really like an interval because you really got to sprint for the 30 while you're walking the other 30. So that's my comment on run walk. One thing I do know, I felt really good after the race. I think that, of course, is what Jeff's whole point is that after the race that you still feel good, you feel strong. And I think that maybe has to do with some of those philosophies of, you know, no pain, no gain. You know, you haven't worked out unless you feel like you're dying. I'm not so sure about that. I think that Jeff's approach, especially for, you know, people in my age group, which is the more mature age group, I think it's really good for us to be feeling good, for people to feel like they want to keep going. So that's my comment on run walk. I hope all of you are having a wonderful, wonderful spring. Good luck to you all, and see you on the Extra Mile. Take care.
Hey, Kevin and all you Extra Milers. This is Deborah calling from Austin, Texas. Gosh, it's gorgeous here. We're having surprisingly mild and even somewhat cool weather for the middle of May. We had this big thunderstorm a couple days ago. It knocked the temperature down. It's probably 75 out right now. Actually walking around in this abandoned shopping mall parking lot, taking training all week, and, you know, it's one of those things where, like, we have much longer for lunch than I need, and we get these 15, 20-minute breaks, and then we have an exercise to work on. It's 45 minutes. It takes me 20, whatever. So every time that happens, I go outside and I walk around a little bit, and it's, I mean, it's just glorious. It's just wonderful out here. The walking is awesome, partially because for Mother's Day, my partner gave me a Fitbit, which Kevin already knows. He was like the first person that I friended or friended me or whatever, trash-talked me a little. So I'm excited about that. It's pretty cool. I'm kind of getting into the what all can you do on it and tracking the food and other activities and the steps and the lights and the sleep and all that. And I'm totally digging that. Not a lot going on. I'm not running, but I'm actually thinking about starting to run again. So I guess I'm in sort of the contemplation stage of stepping up, at least partially, my walking back into putting some running back in my life. And that's about it. Otherwise, things are relatively good. A coworker had a family tragedy this week. But I won't go into any details, but let me just say, all of you, tell the people that you love them, and tell them how much you love them, and if you are near them, give them a hug and appreciate each other and be kind and loving toward each other. And thank you, all of you, for your support and your friendship. I hope everyone's having a great day. I'll cut off because I don't know how long I've talked, but enjoy your extra mile. Bye bye.
Well, there you go, episode 126, the Extra Mile Podcast. So, I promised that we were going to address the whole give Kevin a big head topic. And, first of all, Norm obviously gave me some kudos. And in Norm's case, he's just being just Norm. Norm, if you don't know him, is about as genuine as the day is long. He's just a nice guy and could not muster the gumption to say something negative about someone unless you perhaps threatened his family or stole his running shoes. Love you too, Norm. I do. And my buddy Jim, the producer of the Seeker podcast, which I will leave in the show notes today, said some very nice things about me as well. And unless you listen to the Seeker podcast, you may not know that Jim just stayed with me for a couple of days while he came to town to run the Flying Pig Marathon. And by the way, you really should check out his Seeker podcast. The latest episode, he does a really, really great recap of that marathon. And having been associated with that race for 15 years and know quite a bit about that race and who puts it on and who volunteers for it, etc., the points he makes about this race, good, bad, and indifferent, are pretty much right on the mark. So if you've ever thought about running that race, check it out. So again, I'll put the link in the show notes. But listen, before we go too overboard on all this Kevin's a nice guy stuff, I want to remind everybody that at the end of the day, Kevin is a runner, right? And runners are just nice people. Let me ask you something. If I were to announce that I was coming to your town to run a race, would you offer me a room? Would you offer to at least meet with me, take me around the course, show me your city, reach out to me? Would you? It's a rhetorical question, of course, because I know the answer. I know the answer to that because I get those offers all the time. It's happened over and over, over the many years that I've been doing this podcast. In fact, I'll bet I could pick a race in almost any big city in the United States and have a free room somewhere close. And further, if I ever run a race near Jim, you think that he would even entertain the thought of letting me stay in a hotel? No. So listen, here's my point. I'm very appreciative of all the nice things that you all have said about me, but you know that you could insert your name in place of mine, and it would be just as true, because you're a runner too. Actually, that gives me a great idea. Maybe I should pick races all over the country and stay with you all, huh? Maybe I should call it the Extra Mile Podcast Moocher Tour 2014. At the top of the show, I mentioned that I was finalizing my travel plans for the Jeff Galloway 13.1 half marathon in December. And while we're on the topic of you and I spending time together, think about it, huh? I really, really want to run with you guys. So keep an eye over at Facebook and on that other podcast. Jeff has officially, or will officially announce, about five hotels that he has signed on as official race hotels, who have put together some blocks of rooms and discounted rather nicely for travelers. So we'll talk a little bit about that over at the other podcast. throw some stuff out on Facebook. We'll make you all aware of it. You just figure out how to clear some time on your calendar the weekend of December 12, 13, 14, huh? And we'll do the rest. What else? I think that's it. I am about halfway through putting together another episode for that other podcast. And if you subscribe to that, that should be coming within the next probably week and a half, I would think. 2 weeks at the outside. Got some exciting, very cool running stuff I think you're going to enjoy over there. So that's it. I'm going to shut it down, finish this run. Where am I? Coming up on my 4 mile mark, so I got a little more than a mile to go. And then got to get back to work. So that'll do it. Y'all take care. Thanks again for the download. Thanks again for the last hour of your life. And check out the show notes. I look forward to seeing you again soon. Until next time, y'all enjoy your extra mile.
Well done, Daddy Pig. All that extra running means we've got enough money for a new school bus, too.
Thank you, Daddy Pig.
You're most welcome.
Thanks for joining us on the Extra Mile Podcast. Please visit our website at www.theextramilepodcast.com to see the show notes for this episode of the podcast. You can email us with your feedback about the show at theextramilepodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to send us your audio comments to let us know how your training is going, then please send an audio file to theextramilepodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks very much for downloading the show, and we look forward to joining you again soon on the next edition of the Extra Mile Podcast.
Peppa Pig.